You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What a world! Welcome and all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blogging theboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from my dear, your humble host, Don of The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, October 21st, 2021. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, and that you're enjoying the bye week. That's right. The Dallas Cowboys are winners of 5 in a row. They are 5-1. They are off this week, but that does not change the fact that they are one of the very best teams in the National Football League. We've had a lot of fun talking about the Cowboys, obviously, since this season started. It feels like it just started and feels like it's lasted for a while, you know, all at the same time. There's still so much to go. In fact, a majority of it is to go, but we've had some great times. And I did want to shout out all of our new listeners. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe here to the Blogging the Boys podcast network, and if you can, leave a rating, write a review, Apple Podcasts. Those things really help us out so much, and we make a promise that if you write a review, you can write whatever you want, we will read it. And so we have some reviews to catch up on. We will start with a review from Ivan underscore Navi 6, a 5-star review. It is titled Philly for Never. I think that the Girls Talking Boys episode this week will appreciate that. It says, been listening for 3 years now. Love the Ocho and the 750. Keep it up. Hashtag feed Zeke. One of the best running backs in the NFL this season. No doubt about that. Next one comes to us from One Stop underscore Cowboys. Also a 5-star review. Caption is subscribe. All it says is well worth your follow. So everybody listen to One Stop Cowboys. Next one comes to us from Texas Pride 83, a 5-star review. Title of it, Amazing Follow for Cowboys Nation. Here we go. I love the work that RJ and the crew are doing. They put out so much content that I simply do not have enough time to listen to it all, which is a great problem to have. Thanks for all you do and keep it coming. By the way, we have so many more episodes coming your way in the Blog of the Voice podcast network. Later on today, you will have a new episode of Riled Up. Tomorrow, you will have the aforementioned episode of Girls Talking Boys. On Saturday, you get Cowboys Oi with Mauricio Rodriguez. You also, on Sunday, get the Jersey Boys. Even though there's no game for them to preview, they will do kind of a recollection on things that have happened so far and look forward to the rest of the season. And then we'll start the party all over next week as we get ready for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's keep going, though. One more. We have one that we'll save for next week's edition of the NFC East mixtape. Don't worry, Tony Hip. I will get to you on Wednesday next week. But for now, AIS-Dog, 5-star review. Title of it is Best Cowboys Podcast Out There. Here we go. If you haven't had the pleasure of listening to the entire BTB podcast network, you're missing out. The combination of humor and insightful analysis makes this the best podcast out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody. Numbers are great. We're doing great. It is so much fun to be talking about the Cowboys and sharing that experience with all of you. We really are so privileged, so blessed, so really just touched and honored that you would choose us to be part of your Dallas Cowboys fandom experience. We take it very seriously. We know that you are choosing us, so we want to make sure that we are delivering you the best content possible. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, or points of constructive criticism, hopefully, you can direct them to me. I am on Twitter or Instagram at RJ Ochoa. That's RJOCHOA. My DMs are open on Twitter if you want to keep it private. You can always tweet me, you know, whatever. If you would like to email me, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com is the place to go. But today we have a bit of a treat for you, a very special guest. You have likely seen it in your description by now. Bob Sturm from The Ticket, The Athletic, one of the legends in this business, stopped by because this has been kind of a conversation and something, you know, I've had this conversation with some of my colleagues at SB Nation, Brandon Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation, who you do hear on the mixtape every week here on our network, Rob Stats Guerrera, who I host a show with on the SB Nation NFL show feed. You should definitely subscribe to that. If you want some more widespread league-wide discussion, I'm on two shows over there during the week. And there is this lack of, I don't know if it's respect or credit or whatever, but there is this hesitancy to give Mike McCarthy his due for what the Cowboys are experiencing. And so Bob Sturm is somebody who, and I opened the conversation, you know, with this last year, January, it wasn't last year, actually, it was this year, 2021, but at the end of last season, you know, Bob and I had a back and forth on Twitter, and I took that as a challenge because I don't ever want to be somebody that says that I'm always right, that I'm never wrong. And so, you know, Bob and I spoke about Mike McCarthy on Twitter, and I thought about that, and I said, okay, what am I missing something? Do I need to reevaluate this situation? And over the offseason, I did some digging and did some kind of self-reflecting, and I guess I'm a Mike McCarthy proponent now. I guess that's like the you know, some various lines in the sand, it feels like, have been drawn among Cowboys fans. And so I wanted to kind of flesh out with Bob why there is this lack of credit that goes his way, why the temperature around Mike McCarthy is what it is when it comes to the Cowboys. So we spoke for almost 30 minutes. It's a discussion, rather, that I think that you are going to enjoy. So I'm not going to keep it from you any longer. Here is Bob Sturm from The Ticket, The Athletic, and basically everywhere else here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined by the one, the only, the legendary, the incomparable, the only person who believes in Dustin Johnson more than I do, from The Ticket, The Athletic, everywhere, really. It is the one and only Bob Sturm. Bob, I guess what I'm saying, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I couldn't get through my Dustin thing without laughing.
Well, I'm honored, and thank you very much. Always good to be with you.
I've been waiting to ask you this for a long time. That's why you're here. Your thoughts on Cristiano Ronaldo's return to Manchester United?
It's wildly entertaining. For those of us who like chaos at Old Trafford, which I know that does not include you, it's kind of fun to watch them in real time try to figure out, well, wait a minute, how many center forwards can we have, and how many guys can we have standing over every set piece? And I think it's playing out exactly as some of us anticipated it would, and I just hope they're selling a lot of jerseys, because I'm not positive this can work as far as a championship.
You know, I am one of the few, one of the brainwashed. I ordered mine like 2 days after he signed, and I still don't have it. So you would think, like all the technology we have in the world, that, you know, it would have gotten here by now. But, you know, it is.
Well, actually, I want to hear how you think you're one of the few to order a Cristiano Ronaldo jersey. That actually sounds like something everyone would be doing if they loved that club, right?
That's a good point. I annoyed every person in my life asking them which one I should get. Because I already had the standard red kit, so I went with the navy blue. You don't get a ton of Man U navy blue shirts, so just kind of had to strike while the iron was hot, so to speak. I did want to have you on, Bob, and I wanted to apologize at first. You know, you and I, we had a Twitter discussion that I've thought a lot about over the last few months, back in January, about Mike McCarthy, and I have experienced not what I would call a renaissance, and not that I had walked down the wrong path. But obviously last season took a toll on a lot of Cowboys fans, and you have, I don't want to say that you've been the president of the Mike McCarthy fan club, but you've just kind of inherited the position. I don't know that there was a previous president to kind of take it over from, but you did challenge me to reevaluate a lot of how I was looking at him. So I wanted to thank you and apologize for that. And I really wanted to have you on, because I don't understand how, and I know you've talked about this a lot everywhere, but how, you know, and we all agree, Dak Prescott's in contention for MVP. Trayvon Diggs is in contention for Defensive Player of the Year. Micah Parsons is in contention for Defensive Rookie of the Year. People throwing bouquets at Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn's feet, but people legitimately believe that all of this is happening in spite of Mike McCarthy. And so I don't know anyone that could reason as well as you could here. So I'm just kind of curious for you to peel back this onion for us.
Well, that's fun to try. It's also kind of demonstrates the power of the media, and because the media as a body, even though I always get a laugh when people want me to answer for some larger group called the media, as if we all get together at meetings and you know, set our agenda, and then that we can all agree on things. That as you know, that doesn't happen. Many of us are very independent free thinkers, and some of us are even more likely to try to figure out why all the media agree on one thing if there isn't a clear reason that we should. And so, you know, for me, I do get portrayed often as this Mike McCarthy lawyer or something. Like I am
a stan.
I am, you know, I am somehow in his camp to make sure that he gets some positive publicity, which is weird because I never sought that out. And when Green Bay fired him, I was fine with that. I thought, you know, as a true cheesehead, that the time had come. We clearly have a divorce, and let's get on with it. And let's not belabor this any longer so that Green Bay can go about their business and find a fresh start, because, you know, that's often the solution to a stale relationship. And it sucks, but it is what it is. So I would say I was a Mike McCarthy moderate when he was at Green Bay. I did not necessarily think that he was Bill Walsh, but I surely didn't think he was to blame for every time Aaron Rodgers lost a football game, which is somehow what the collective group think of the football world arrived at. You know, I mean, it's very similar to LeBron James in some cases. When LeBron wins, he dragged his coach along. And when he loses, his coach is a moron holding LeBron back. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been given a very similar relationship because he is a special athlete, and we can tangibly see what he does, but we can't always tangibly see what the coach does. And so, you know, that's a wide general answer to the various questions that abound. But I will say this: if you get in a PR war with LeBron James or with Aaron Rodgers, you often pay for it for the rest of your career. I don't know how many of LeBron's former coaches are just doing great in the NBA in their career path, but I can tell you several of them have never been given another head coaching chance. And I would just simply say that's a graveyard of careers. And maybe Mike McCarthy's the outlier there, because he paid dearly for losing a PR battle with Aaron Rodgers. But at least he did get another job, another real high profile job that is loaded with talent. So maybe we won't cry too hard for him. But he knows from his time in Green Bay that he's not going to get any credit when the things goes well, because that's not how it works when you have a high profile superstar. And so he, if anybody, is equipped to deal with all this without going insane, because I was just asked this yesterday, like, surely Mike McCarthy knows what people think about him right now. How does it not make him insane? And my answer was, well, I don't know, because I often get insane by what people say. I get driven insane just like anybody. You want to be liked, you want to be approved of, you know, you want credit sometimes for what you do. But at the same time, you know, the guy practiced in Green Bay for 13 seasons, dealing with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and the loyalists there, and very similar to Cristiano Ronaldo or LeBron James. I mean, the caddies are not going to get any credit, you know, and so that's probably unfair, but you know, it's $6 or $8 million a year. Maybe the coaches can deal with the fact that, you know, Joe journalist doesn't think they're a genius. And, you know, it's a funny thing. And I don't mean to meander, but after 5 consecutive wins, I assumed that people would be coming around on Mike McCarthy quite a bit. And instead, it seems like everybody's doubling down on, you know, game management issues during, you know, massive, massive wins, as this team really seems to get on a roll. It's just how what we're doing now.
I love the caddy analogy. I think I don't know that you're suggesting that the McCarthy is bones, you know, to I guess the Cowboys version of Phil. But like that credit is certainly fair and is certainly due. And you're right, there is this doubling down. I'm interested in the PR angle of this, because that guy has seemingly not gone away, at least entirely. One of my favorite moments, and favorite meaningless moments, to be very clear here, this season, was after week one, when Jerry Jones, obviously, in one of his several weekly radio appearances, goes on air and announces that Terrence Steele is going to be the answer at right tackle in lieu of Lyle Collins. And in Mike McCarthy's first opportunity behind a microphone, he completely, I don't want to say backtracks, but says, yeah, we're not decided. I loved that. And I feel like, you know, I feel like he also doesn't get credit. And I'm not trying to turn into this, like, you know, look under every rock to assign Mike McCarthy credit, but He also seemingly at least steered into the PR momentum of keeping Kellen Moore around. He gets like no even managerial credit whatsoever. He's just, I think a lot of people really believe this person who hangs around specifically to serve as this demerit to the team's success.
Yeah, it's wild, especially if we're going to talk Terrence Steele, because there are almost no head coaches in professional football that stick with young offensive linemen quite like Mike McCarthy. He did it time and time and time again with guys who almost got Rodgers killed when they were babies in this league. And then they actually turn into Pro Bowlers. They actually turn into regular starters, and they actually turn into guys who make the NFL top 100 and things like that. I mean, the road is paved with these guys, whether it's TJ Lang or David Bakhtiari, who's a fourth round pick, and, you know, Corey Lindsley and these guys, JC Treader. I mean, how many guys has Mike McCarthy developed who were mid tier or sometimes undrafted offensive linemen? And then because you did not necessarily assume they were Chaz Green because their first game or two went bad, they end up being regulars in this league, partly because, look, pro football is super difficult and very few guys get it right away. Well, you'll recall in 2020, Terrence Steele was one of the reasons why Mike McCarthy must be a ninny, because he doesn't see how bad Terrence Steele is and he won't take him out. And what is this guy doing? And now, a year later, people have seen a young player develop into somebody that they're actually suggesting he should remain at right tackle in front of Lyle Collins, which is its own separate ridiculous conversation. I just want to know, all these people that now think Terrence Steele should be a starter, which one of you thought Mike McCarthy should be fired because he wasn't still out there last year? Well, Mike McCarthy has routinely in his career stuck with offensive linemen, and they've turned into something pretty nice because you show a little patience and a little room for development. And that's, I think, what good coaches do. But he clearly, through all this, should get credit for it and gets none. And that's just, you know, I guess that's his lot in life. I can't explain it, but the road is covered with examples like this on McCarthy, on how it really turns into, you know, we say this is a results oriented business, but we've also found that people can contort to shape the reasons why teams win and get results to fit whatever preconceived agenda they already have. Well, surely Kellen Moore is doing all this, and we should probably fire McCarthy because Kellen Moore is absolutely a great head coach. What if we lost a great head coach who has never been a head coach of anything? I mean, he could be the next Sean McVay. And I say, yeah, he could. He could also be the next North Turner. He could be the next Mike Martz. He could be the next Jason Garrett, a great coordinator who was not anything approaching a great head coach, but nobody ever considers that.
Yeah, I do, by the way, want to meet the middle of that Venn diagram, the Terrence Steele, you know, truthers and the Mike McCarthy detractors. It's a very, very special place. And you're right. I love Kellen Moore, and everyone loves Kellen Moore. But this idea that somebody who's in his third year of coaching, period, is just in general at any level, is, you know, that he would be more qualified than Mike McCarthy. It is a prior confirming sort of thing. You mentioned something when you joined Kevin Clark on the Ringer NFL show that I really liked, speaking of Jason Garrett, in that McCarthy kind of counters in general, like what everyone I think sort of sees as the Indeed.com posting of a Dallas Cowboys head coach. You know, he doesn't fit the mold. He doesn't say the right things. He's just different. He's a Midwest guy from Pittsburgh, PA, who just wants to operate and roll his own way. Do you think that isn't like, I don't think that I also don't understand how anyone can look at, and I don't mean to bag on Jason Garrett, but can look at what the New York Giants have been over the last 2 years and not have this overwhelming sense of gratitude for what this has been, at least certainly this season.
Yeah, I don't know. And honestly, we could probably write a book on what goes into, you know, sort of the the masses' belief on a certain Cowboys topic. And I do think at its root, it all goes back to like 1995 and the fact that this team has been wandering the desert ever since. And I think there's a shred of collective fan mental illness in it all, in that we're not happy unless we're unhappy, because unhappiness is sort of what Dallas Cowboys football has been all about for the adult lives of almost all of their core fans who are under the age of 50. And so, you know, it's a weird deal. But then you go down the McCarthy road, and not only does he have to deal with all that he brings to the table, but he kind of still is trying to answer for Barry Switzer, Chan Gailey, Dave Campbell, Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, and Jason Garrett. So much like Dak has to sort of carry the burden of Tony Romo, Mike McCarthy has to do the same thing for the head coach. And now you add to it, if I may, what you just said, a Pittsburgh guy. So a football dude who is from the land of a key Cowboys rival. Then he's the head coach of another key Cowboys rival who, frankly, had his best day inside the Cowboys stadium, but several other great days inside the Cowboys stadium. So, again, this is the equivalent of Sir Alex Ferguson coming over to manage Liverpool or something like that. He would probably be welcomed if he ever delivered the big trophies. But in the meantime, people are not going to automatically forget that this guy authored a lot of the worst days of my life. Right. And so you have that. Then you have just the general fat guy coach situation, which is an uncomfortable and perhaps unkind thing to say, but in general, I do think the perception, whether you're talking about a president, a CEO, or a football coach, of a guy who appears to perhaps be a bit overweight, Andy Reid, you know, many of these guys in today's svelte, Sean McVay, Cliff Kingsbury, the Bachelor winner, head coach, and that whole situation, I think that might go into it a little bit. There's a million different possibilities here. But then, of course, one of the big ones, if not the biggest one, is his entire honeymoon was a complete disaster, with much of it beyond his control the no camp, the very limited staff available that he was able to pounce upon, and the entire 2020 season, right all the way to Dak's broken ankle and beyond, was just the worst way to get off on the wrong foot with a fan base that didn't really like you in the first place. Not to mention all the national media who had to decide, am I going to take Aaron Rodgers' side or Mike McCarthy's side in this divorce? Well, as McCarthy's in the football barn, Matt LaFleur, who, by the way, is in great shape and does look like a Bachelor contestant, has taken his team to a 26-6 record in the regular season with Aaron Rodgers, proving Aaron was right all along, and two NFC title games to boot. So there's a lot into the branding, and there's a lot that says Mike McCarthy is not in the dictionary under what you think the next Cowboys head coach would look like, or act like, or be from, or just, you know, the entire thing. And so on a certain level, until he delivers the goods, if that ever happens, yeah, I do think a lot of people are willing to follow what their favorite radio guy or newspaper guy or TV guy says about him. And invariably, the local media are also Cowboy fans. You know, they can say they're unbiased and truth journalists, but I've met enough of them, and most of them grew up loving Danny White or Roger Staubach or both. And so I promise a lot of those things affect their perception. And so, you know, it snowballs and piles on, but, it's a fun conversation. But at the end of the day, here I am as a guy who did follow Mike McCarthy closely. And I said, well, wait a minute, guys, before you all get carried away with this groupthink perception deal, let me tell you two things about Mike McCarthy that are super, super important. Number one, he is as aggressive a coach as you will find on fourth downs, going for two, trying to double up before halftime. All of the strategic analytic things that we embrace because Sean McVay does them, I promise you, Mike McCarthy does them more. And I can prove it with numbers. And I can prove it with 13 years of evidence. Or, you know, you can just believe what I say and watch Cowboys games and see it for yourself. Which, by the way, of course, this year, they are at the very top of the aggression meter amongst the 32 teams. I believe they're second in the NFL right now on going for it when you should go for it. And then the other thing that he's known for. Sorry, RJ, I'm rolling here, right?
No, go off.
The other thing, and this is also super, super important, and way more important on did you bang a timeout in the second quarter or did you go to the room up on the Eagles and just decide to go to halftime. He builds tough football teams. He builds teams that try to bully you. And also, he builds teams that play with whoever is available and doesn't worry about whoever is not available. And all I can say is if you've watched the entire Jason Garrett era and you've heard all the excuses on why we can't compete because we lost so-and-so or whoever, and, you know, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? Tyrone Crawford just went down, and we just, oh, well, I guess the season's shot again. Oh, goodness, we lost Travis Frederick for the year. Well, I guess the season's over, guys. I promise you, Mike McCarthy teams play with whoever they got, and they give you everything they have. Does that mean they win all the time? Of course it doesn't. But it does mean they are always ready for kickoff on Sunday. They're always ready to compete with whoever they have. In other words, this is no longer a country club. So you can tell me that you want a better in-game manager. I want a better in-organization manager who is making sure the details and the thermostat for my team's spirit or morale or however you want to describe it, just the ability to get in the cage and give you the best fight of your life. That's what Mike McCarthy teams did in Green Bay. And a great example of that happened in Arlington when he brought the Matt Flynn Green Bay Packers down in 2013. And they actually won a game that they had to win, but were also down 26-3 at the half against Tony Romo and Jason Garrett. He beat them with Matt Flynn. And yet, despite the fact that almost every Cowboy fan and every Cowboy media member saw that game live and it made them crazy, it's like they all forgot, like it never happened. And I find that amazing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think I have a lot of things. We don't have the time, but for everything that you said, the country club thing has been thrown out a lot. I think everybody wants Jordan Spieth. Like that's what they want. You know, that's what Jason Garrett was. You talked about Sean McVay, the physical profile of coaches. You know, Cliff Kingsbury is the Cardinals are having success, but you know, there's a big reason why they're, you know, talked about the way they are in positive lights. You know, there's a reason right. Why Brandon Staley is, you know, elevated the way he is, but I think it's more than just that. They're part of the club. They all know each other, the young guys that came up, et cetera. But, you know, Mike McCarthy's not Jordan Spieth. He's John Rahm, you know, and I would argue that last season was his memorial, you know, great start, you know, theoretically sure. in the draft. And then this is his US Open in all hope and, you know, prosperity and whatnot. Yeah, it's interesting going back to the physical profile thing, because the thing that everyone's knocking him on this season, Bob, as you well know, is despite the fact that, and I don't want to be a results oriented thinker, but despite the fact that they're 5-0 in their last five is, yeah, well, look at the clock management, look at things. And it does, realize, you know, what was Andy Reid's thing before they won the Super Bowl? It was the clock management. There has to be, unless you have I don't want to call it a shtick, but you know, Bruce Arians kind of fits that mold, but he's the wiseacre. He's the guy who's gonna curse and gonna wear a funny hat and, you know, have a Southern drawl to him. So unless you fit that, you know, people, I don't want to say they're gonna look to tear you down, but they're not gonna give you any benefit of the doubt, despite that, you know, everybody killed, as you know, including I was upset too, but the way the Cowboys handled that win in Los Angeles, Brandon Staley did not call a single timeout in any sort of urgency to preserve time for Justin Herbert. Nobody has an issue with the way Bill Belichick handled the end of the first half on Sunday or the fourth and three decision to punt back to Dak Prescott. And so, you know, and some of that's just the Cowboys of it. You get that people will always look to tear them down, but it is I don't know if it's hypocrisy. It's just funny at the very least.
Well, yeah. And I do think, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but for a while, because I suppose I do like to be provocative on the Twitter, but for a while back in 2016 to 18, when people were killing Dak every chance they got, I had a series on Twitter called MVP Quarterbacks Miss Open Receivers Too. And it would basically be take the all 22 and it would be showing, you know, Rodgers or Mahomes or Russ or Roethlisberger or whoever just airmailing an open receiver by 10 yards. And it wasn't to say that Dak was them. It right. was to say that you need to watch football carefully and closely and not just Cowboys games. Because if you do, you'll realize that fan bases and football players are sort of similar in every situation. And that's why I really think it benefits people to watch another team as closely as you do the Dallas Cowboys. Because if you do, you'll realize that your coach and your quarterback are not the worst thing you've ever seen. You'll realize that this sort of repeats itself anywhere sports are played, where people really, really care about what happens. Yes, quarterbacks do throw interceptions on other teams. Often they do it a lot. And here's the crazy thing. Some of them who throw interceptions are still really good quarterbacks. That's crazy, I realize, but it's true. And if you sat and watched a coach every week and wrote down all of the decisions you disagreed with, you could do it for literally anybody. Great example. A couple weeks ago, I watched Nick Saban coach at College Station. And I saw several examples of Nick Saban not using his timeouts and not using his tactical advantages perfectly. I saw the same thing with Bill Belichick. I saw the same, you know, every game. If you study a guy, you know, usually when you watch somebody else's quarterback or their coach, either they're playing the Cowboys or you're watching them on a primetime game three or four times a year. You're not making mental notes every single week about the same guy, because that's not your team and you only have so many hours in the day. I am telling you, this is a proven fact. If you want to scrutinize any coach, you're going to find three things every game they do that you don't think are right in real time. A couple times they'll be proven right. Once or twice you'll be proven right and you'll feel like you're smarter than them. I've got a spoiler. You're not smarter than them. But that's kind of the fun thing of being a fan, is we delude ourselves into these long conversations. And I should also answer this, because people seem unclear on this. I do disagree with a lot of what Mike McCarthy comes up with. I absolutely do. I thought, honestly, that he should have gone for it on fourth and one.
Agreed.
Before that field goal attempt with 2:40 to go in that game. Because if you do go for it there, you can take the entire clock all the way down to zeros, and you're probably about at the 15-yard line when you kick the winning field goal against New England on Sunday, and none of that other stuff happens. But, hey, that's not the goal, is to get every decision right. The goal is to get more right than the coach across from you over on the other side of the field. And I think Mike McCarthy has done that about 11 times a season, as long as he's been an NFL coach in this league.
Well, I agree with you, Bob, that they should have gone for it. But, you know, kudos to Mike McCarthy for preserving Trayvon Diggs' interception streak at the very least. last thing for you, Bob, very quickly. You mentioned, just sort of lots of good things. You have been on a bit of a run here, if I'm being honest with you. Liverpool, congrats, a little bit belated there. The Milwaukee Bucks. You, along with my parents, were at the Ryder Cup, you know, US of A, way to go. So you're, you know, clearly whatever you touch turns to gold here in a sports landscape. So, what else do you want in life? It could be sports related, it could be non-sports related, but clearly you're going to will it into existence.
I'm just going to tell you, I'm out of favors. I don't think it would be right in the year that I was lucky enough to attend Game 6 of the NBA Finals and to see my childhood NBA team win a title right before my very eyes, and to see the one of the great humans in professional sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo, go for 50 in that game and basically be unable to miss a free throw. I was there to witness it, and it was on that night, upon basically a three-hour parade in downtown Milwaukee. Something I highly recommend for anybody is to win a title in your town, which is very difficult in the NFL, but it's possible in other sports, as you know, and boy, there's nothing like it. And basically at the end of that night, before I went to sleep, I pretty much said, you know, I'm done wishing for sports dreams, because I can't beat this one. This one is too perfect. I've seen it all. And whatever happens for the balance of my funny sports life, it's all gravy from here.
Well, congrats on it all. Great run, great year. Hopefully there's much more ahead. So, Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Everybody read him, listen to him, and cheers. Hopefully you woke some people up.
Hey, if I did it, it was at least fun trying. Thanks for having me.
Want to give a big-time shout-out, big-time thank you to Bob Sturm for the time. Again, one of the greats, one of the people who understands football, sports, everything under the sun better than most. And really, I think enlightening conversation, I hope. I really believe a lot. I believe everything, but I believe what we spoke about. And I think it is weird how Mike McCarthy does have all this success that is happening around him. And yet, you know, those are real things that people say. Yeah, you know, the Cowboys have one of the worst coaches in the NFL. This is happening in spite of him. They're succeeding despite what he is doing. And I can't understand how the math of that makes sense. And so I hope you enjoy the conversation. If you, again, have any thoughts or questions, you just want to talk about whatever, you can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram, as mentioned, or shoot me an email. Thank you to everyone who has listened to us so far this season. We're very excited for the rest of this ride to keep on going. I'll tell you that we are doing very well. We are the top Dallas Cowboys podcast out there right now. And so we appreciate you, you know, supporting us in that sense. And if you want to support us, again, please subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. Those things really help. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got some fun stuff coming out there later. Actually, today on Thursday, we have a video coming out that I'm in. And we look at when the Dallas Cowboys can win the NFC East. Being real, being practical, understanding when that might be the thing, because we can sit here and we can kind of say, well, I think it's going to be around Thanksgiving. Well, yeah, we did the work for you. So go check that out. While you're doing stuff, have a great day. Have the best day ever. Have the best day of all time. Have the best Thursday ever, but the best day that you have ever had. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.